issue that has dominated my time and that of our regional leaders and staff these last couple of months has been in managing the response to my request to missionaries to sign affirmation of the Baptist faith and message. I want to express appreciation to Larry Cox and his staff in the Office of Mobilization for their work with the media, but especially to Wendy Norville and Mark Kelly, who've done a superb job in serving as our spokespersons. Our missionaries have been wonderful in their understanding and their cooperative response. Our regional leaders have been diligent to communicate and sensitive in their response and encouragement. And I'm grateful for your affirmation and support of our actions. I'm confident that these efforts will result in greater credibility and support and benefit to the IMB, to the SBC, and to the Kingdom of God. There are some observations in the response we have received these last few weeks that have been quite revealing. Practically every letter, email, and phone call criticizing and objecting to this action of our missionaries has reflected an obvious predisposition against the leadership and direction of the Southern Baptist Convention and the Baptist Faith and Message. Most have jumped to the inaccurate assumption that it was you, the board, and administration that were suspicious of our missionaries, imposing a legalistic creed and coercing doctrinal conformity. To the contrary, it was due to our confidence in the missionaries that we have given them the opportunity to take a stand with us in dispelling unfounded suspicions and mistrust that could erode confidence and support. I continue to be astounded that anyone would think it inappropriate for missionaries to affirm what they believe whenever or as often they are asked or given the opportunity to do so. It's been disappointing to find that there are some media outlets and some of those in responsible positions that are apparently not interested in the true reality of what we're doing, but have readily propagated rumors and perceptions that would discredit the SBC and promote their divisive agenda. Probably most alarming of all has been the awareness of those that would advocate freedom to the point of supplanting the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the authority of God's infallible word, and that missionaries should not be doctrinally accountable to their sending and supporting churches. We all would readily affirm that we have no creed but the Bible, and the Bible is our sole authority for faith and practice. However, when I was pastoring in Texas, I had many of Church of Christ friends who said the same thing. On the mission field, I ran into many Pentecostals and Charismatics who claimed no creed but the Bible and as their sole basis of faith and practice. So what is it that distinguishes us as Baptists? Since the 1600s, Baptists and others have drafted confessions, our testimonies of what we believe. They have consistently been updated to say collectively, here we stand, in response to social issues and theological diversions. I find it appalling in the light of disintegrating homes in America, the diminishing influences of churches on our society, that there would be those who would advocate compromise with culture and reject the biblical model of family life and church structure. Amen. It is especially alarming that so many seem to think the primary thing that distinguishes Baptists is the priesthood of the believer and autonomy of the local church, forgetting that our sole competency to come to God without any mediator other than Jesus Christ is based on the authority of God's inerrant word. The Holy Spirit never leads an individual contrary to the truth and teachings of God's word. The pride and arrogance to elevate freedom and independent thinking above the foundation of our belief must be an offense to our Father and His Lordship. Amen. It is interesting that those who champion the priesthood of the believer apparently deny that very concept of the priesthood to the dedicated men and women led by God to draft the Baptist faith and message, and the thousands of Southern Baptists who individually sought God's will and leadership as priests before Him to affirm this expression of our faith collectively when they condescendingly relegate it to a man-made document. It is interesting that those so intent on practicing autonomy would not acknowledge the autonomy of the Southern Baptist Convention in our church polity and its authority to govern its institutions and expect accountability on the part of those who serve these convention entities. When our missionaries were appointed, we reviewed their statements of belief written in their own words and found them acceptable. They expressed basic agreement with the Baptist faith and message, and no one felt that it was a creed being imposed or that such doctrinal affirmation was inappropriate for one being appointed by a denominational mission agency. Asking them to reaffirm the Baptist faith and message, something they had already done, and even inviting them to express areas of disagreement is serving to prove to would-be detractors that they are doctrinally sound and denominationally loyal and passionate about fulfilling their call to share Jesus Christ with the lost world. However, the controversy this has generated has reflected once again the necessity of the conservative resurgence of our convention and the need to hold firmly to the fundamentals of our faith lest we succumb to theological relativism, social compromise, postmodern influence, and are cast about by every wind of doctrine in the name of freedom.
Glad to respond to any questions.